If you have your Bibles, turn to Matthew 16. Book of Matthew, chapter 16. We are thankful to see each one this morning. Glad to have some that hadn't seen in a while. We're thankful that we could all be here together. And I've already enjoyed a good worship service. Just a wonderful Sunday school lesson. If we listen to that lesson, it'll change our lives. And it'll change the world around us, too. And so we certainly want to be spiritual-minded people. We don't want to be carnal-minded. And a lot of times we say, well, that's easier said than done. The more that we're willing to let go of the world, the easier it is to be what God would have us to be. And so I like the way the writer said, we need to kill it. We need to just put it away. And have to do that every day. You have to get up and realize that you're going to be attacked. And there's a part of you that wants to get out in the world and enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. But that's the part we have to be. We have to have our eyes open. We have to be vigilant, see what the devil's up to and what the world's up to and our own fleshly nature. And we have to be willing to put that aside for the cause of Christ. Matthew chapter 16, verse 1. The Pharisees came and tempting desired him that he would shew them a sign from heaven. He answered and said unto them, when it is evening, ye say it will be fair weather, for the sky is red. And in the morning it will be foul weather today, for the sky is red and lowering. O ye hypocrites, ye can discern the face of the sky, but can ye not discern the signs of the times? A wicked and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign, and there shall no sign be given unto it, but the sign of the prophet Jonas. And he left them and departed. You know, there's a part in man, speaking of the carnal side, speaking of the humanity of us all, there's a part of us that we never want to look foolish. We want to, there's something inside even young boys, young people, that we want to know that we have what it takes. And so we want to be verified all the time. You know, look, Mom, no hands. How many of us have done that? We want somebody to point out we're doing something that proves we've got what it takes. That goes throughout life. When we learn something, we want people to join in and see what we're doing because, look, I'm doing a good job. I need you to tell me that. I need you to show me I'm doing a good job. And anything that makes us appear foolish, we try to either overcome it or we steer away from it. You know, if you go out and you do something and you completely mess it up, the next time we hesitate to do it again, we might steer away from that the rest of our life. You know, y'all have often heard me talk about fishing and how that I was raised up like that. Grandpa would take us to the river. One thing I don't think I've ever said is when we went, Grandpa and the men took care of everything. Us boys, we kind of, they give us a little free rein to go and explore, but you know, when it come to camp, they did the fishing, we did the watching most of the time. And so, you know, I got to be a man and I thought, well, I know how to do this. I've got it whipped. And so I decided I would go off to the river by myself. But in fact, I said, I'll take my boys and I'll go show them what I was showing. And I'm going to tell you what, I did not know what I was doing. I thought I did, but I did not. We got off down the river, and first thing, I didn't take an extra prop, and I had a plastic one on. You boys know that, or what that's like. And so we messed up the prop and got stuck about 5 miles down the river. And then a tornado came, and I'm not joking. There was a tornado over our head, and I realized just how vulnerable I was and how I'm trying to teach the boys how to do something I grew up, and I have no clue how to show them how to do it. And I felt so foolish about that. We had to get somebody to drag us all the way back to the boat ramp, and I have not been back to the river since then. And so I told Sabrina, I've got to go and overcome that because it became a fear. I felt foolish. You know, I thought I knew what I was doing, but I have no clue. So I need somebody, if you want to go and teach me, I'll ride along with you. That would be a good idea. You come help me and to overcome that. But that is just a part of us. We do not want to appear to be foolish. And that's in everything. I believe it happens even whenever someone realizes that they're lost. I don't want to appear to be lost. I don't want to appear to, and we maybe we misinterpret our situation, but I don't want to appear to look foolish while being lost. And so we ignore it. We try to steer away from it. We try to look different than maybe the way really reality is. And in fact, we are lost, and we would go to hell. If you're lost, you would go to hell in the condition that you're in. And yet, to admit that you're lost or to deal with being lost means that you're vulnerable. And it means that, as Felix, he trembled. Whenever the Lord got a hold of him, he trembled, and he was in front of his wife. And he didn't want to appear to look that way. And so he said, "Go thy way, at a more convenient season I'll call for thee." Perhaps he was saying, whenever we can do this a little more privately, that maybe I'll listen to you at that point. Right now it's just not convenient for me to do that. So the Pharisees and the Sadducees, they came to Jesus tempting and desired him that he would show them a sign. You know, why did they come to him in the first place? What's the big deal? This is a man. He's preaching something different than what we preach. Why not just leave him alone? If you don't believe what he's saying, just let him go the way that he's going. Do what he's doing. If it's not of God, it'll come to a head eventually. It'll come to naught. One of them was at least wise enough to admit that. We don't want to be caught fighting against God now. But if it's not of God, then God knows how to handle it. But have you ever thought, atheists, why is it so important for an atheist to try to prove that we don't know what we're talking about? I mean, really, if you don't believe in God, why do you have to spend your life trying to prove there is no God? You think there's a part of them that might believe just a little bit? There's a part of them might believe just a little bit. There's another part of them that if I'm going to be an atheist, I don't want to look foolish being an atheist. If I'm going to be a Pharisee or a Sadducee and continue on with the things I've always been doing, then what Jesus is stirring up over here, it kind of makes us look foolish. We can't heal the sick. We can't raise the dead like he did with Lazarus. We can't do these things. And so if we're going to continue on, we've got to get to the bottom of this, and we've got to make him look foolish. I believe they knew they were outmatched. We can't do what you're doing. No man can do what you're doing except it be of God. Nicodemus admitted that, didn't he? We know that you have to be a teacher come from God because no man can do what you're doing. So they know there's something to this, and it makes us look foolish, and we've got to make him look foolish so that we can feel better about ourselves. You know, many times, when you're lost, you know, there's people sit in church and they're lost and they realize that, and yet I don't want to appear to look foolish, so maybe I'll quit coming. Or maybe I'll just pretend like everything's fine so that I won't appear to be out of place. So they said here, they said, we would see a sign from heaven. So in other words, we are trying real hard to wrap our minds around this, and we're trying to make sense of it, and we're trying not to look foolish in the middle of all this. And so we might be convinced if you would show us a little bit more proof. Just show us some more proof. Let's see if you can do this thing on command. Somebody asks you to do some circus trick. You perform on demand. Do it right now. Show us. So, in other words, if you're trying real hard to get us to see the spiritual realm, then we need to see a little bit more physical proof so that we can believe the spiritual. In other words, healing somebody's not good enough. You could have had that staged. Raising the dead, that's not good enough. If they'd have followed him a little bit further, he would have fed 5,000 with a few loaves and fishes. I don't know if they all followed him, but if they did, they got to see that. That's not enough for us to believe, though. Now, perhaps just a little bit more. Show us something else. All right, you remember Thomas? Thomas walked with the Lord, one of his disciples. He walked with him. He talked with him. He no doubt ate meals with him. He probably was in, got to eat with the 5,000. He saw people healed. He saw Lazarus raised from the dead. He got to see those things. He knew about those things, but when Jesus was crucified, even though he preached 3 days and I'm going to be raised again, I'll be resurrected, the disciples came running, and he was out of pocket at the time, and they said, "Thomas, we have seen the Lord. He has been resurrected from the dead." And he said, "I will not believe that." Why not? Why not just believe it? You've seen so much. I mean, the Lord has been a blessing to you over and over again. You have followed Him. You've been in His presence. You've been everywhere He's been. Why not just believe? "I'm not going to believe. I tell you what, this is what it'll take. I'll have to be able to put my fingers in the nail prints in His hands. And I want to be able to take my hand and put it in His side where that spear pierced Him and water and blood flowed. If I can do those things, then I will believe." So, okay, he said, "I've got to have some kind of hard evidence in order for me to believe what you're trying to tell me." I believe we see a lot of the world in that same shape. Show me something. I want to see something so that I can believe. I've got to have some kind of hard evidence. I'm going to say this, and if you're there, I hope you don't feel disrespected by this. Just look around. There's evidence all around us, everywhere you look. Creation. The foolish said there's no God, because creation declares there's a God. There's a great master design in all that we see. In your own body, there's no way that your own body is an accident. Just no way. There's no way. There's proof. We are depraved. You see it in society. A godless society falls apart. It's death. It's chaos. There's no guidance without God. And so there's a calling for us to know God. All right, Jesus hung on the cross. He said, "Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani." Now, that we don't understand that kind of language, and neither did the people that were listening. They said, "He calleth for Elias." Of course, being interpreted, that means, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" Somebody interpreted that for us, so I'm glad they did. Otherwise, we wouldn't know what he said. And but the people that crucified him, they said, "He called for Elias." And somebody said, "Let's run and get something and try to help him. Let's put some vinegar in his mouth." And somebody said, "Let him alone. Let's see if Elias comes or not." That's some bold words. Whenever you're crucifying someone that says, "I'm God's son," if you're going to do that, you better be absolutely 100% sure you're right. Because what if he is God's son? Wouldn't you hate to be the one that crucified the Lord? Okay, wouldn't you hate to be the one that never trusted him as your Savior? But they said, "Let him alone. Let's see. Maybe if it's Elias coming, if he shows up, boy, we'll believe then. We'll have some hard evidence to this spiritual realm that we're trying to wrap our mind around." And so we need to see Elias. We must have some kind of hard evidence. And yet the rock rent. When Jesus gave up the ghost, the rock rent. Why didn't they trust then? The veil in the temple rent in twain. Why didn't they believe then? While they crucified him, toward midday, the sun just turns dark. Oh, it's just coincidence. Why didn't they believe then? You're crucifying God's son, at least he claims that, and just in the middle of the day, the sun goes black. Why not believe then? While they're looking for evidence, evidence is all around them that this is Christ, and yet they did not believe. What kind of evidence are you looking for? in order to trust Jesus, what are you looking for? Well, Brother Brad, I tell you what, I want God just to say it. I want Him to just say it. If I'm saved, then I want Him just to tell me I'm saved. Well, God's Word does tell you. He has. If you believe, He will save. God's Word tells you that. If you believe in your heart, He will save you. If you believe in your heart, you are saved. It's what God's Word said. If that's what you're waiting on, look, He said it. Well, I want to know, brother. I want to know. God is God, and He can just make me know. Yes, He can. I know. I absolutely know that I'm saved. So He can't make you know, but it might not be the way you're expecting. You see, the way you know is because God's Word tells you so. That's how we know. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. To the Jew first, also to the Greek. Anyone that will believe, God's Word will let you know that you're saved. That's how we know. All right? You say, well, maybe I'm like these people. I just need a sign. Well, listen to what Jesus said, foolish people. Seek after a sign. And there will not be one given to you except that of the prophet Jonas. You think about Jonah, what was the sign? He went and he told them, repent. That's what they got. He went to Nineveh and he said, was it 30 days? Yet 30 days and Nineveh be destroyed. They repent. The Lord spared them. If you will repent, put your faith in Christ, He'll save you. That's what you have. All right, so, well, Brother Brad, I'm sorry. I hear what you're saying. It all sounds good for some, but I expect a certain thing. Okay, remember Naaman? Naaman expected things to happen a certain way, didn't he? I expected he would come out, strike his hand over the place and recover me of my leprosy. And he went away in a rage. There's a lot of people that's doing that because they want what they want. I've got to have what I expect. You can go away in a rage. But the problem with that is you can also go away and miss everything that God has promised you. God will save you if you will put your faith in Jesus Christ. His Naaman, he received that healing that was promised by the Word of God. He received that, but he had to humble himself, and he had to do what God said. If you want to be saved this morning, you're going to have to humble yourself and do what God said. You're going to have to be willing to just trust Jesus. You might say, well, I tell you what, Brother Brad, I hear you, but I am sorry. I'm just not that simple-minded. I need some kind of hard evidence. I need more than what I have. You can't just tell me, just believe and everything's going to be okay. Well, I need some evidence. Look over at Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. That's God's Word. You cannot change that. You cannot make it something that it's not. You cannot rewrite it. And, well, let me back up just a minute. We're saved by grace through faith, right? That's what Scripture says. You don't have to like it that way. You say, well, I wish I could get saved by paying $1 million. That does not matter what you think. I'm not trying to be ugly about it. That just does not matter. Because somebody like me might not be able to pay $1 million. The Lord said, I'm going to make this thing on an even playing field where anyone can have it. The blind. Well, why couldn't he put a serpent up on a pole and tell us all to go somewhere and look at that serpent? Because there might be a lame man not able to get there. There might be a blind man couldn't lay his eyes on that serpent. And so he made a plan where all you got to do is in your heart believe. Just believe. Make it just that simple. We're saved by grace through faith. No other way. Your expectations, your ideas, your feelings cannot change that. So this morning, the evidence that you're seeking for, I just read it to you. The evidence of the unseen salvation is proven by faith. You can't see salvation, can you? I can stand up here all day and tell you I'm saved, but I can't pull it out and show it to you. See here? I just can't. If I could, I would. My soul. Well, Brother Brad, you sure you have a soul? I have a soul. It's saved. I'm saved. I can't pull it out and prove it to you. I'll tell you what I can do. I can bear witness that I have it. Might not always do a good job of that, Brother Mike. There's many of us failing in that department. There's many of us not letting Christ shine through in our life. And so maybe we make miserable witnesses. Or perhaps maybe it is that we're like the salt that's lost its savor. That don't change the fact I know I'm saved, though. I would love for my light to shine a little bit brighter so that you could see Christ in me just a little bit better. But the evidence of the unseen salvation of the soul was proven by faith. I know I'm saved, and my evidence is the fact that I believe Jesus. I've trusted His Word. The gospel is the power, is the strength of my salvation. If I go to hell, I will go to hell believing that Jesus Christ saved my soul and is going to take me to heaven. You know what I believe about that? I believe God cannot let that happen. He cannot tell a lie. I believe everything that we hold dear would fall apart in an instant if the Lord was able to break that promise. God cannot lie. He will not lie. He chooses not to. And He's righteous, and He loves righteousness more than anything else in the world. And so He made a way that I could be saved. He made a way that you could be saved. You're lost. You're a sinner. Nothing you can do about that. You can't fight your way out of a wet paper bag. But the Lord, Christ Jesus, He died on the cross, paid your sin debt, and if you'll put your faith in Him, He will save you. And He'll do it right now. You know, the feeling of peace. Somebody says, well, there's your proof you had peace. The feeling of peace that's so often referred to can only be achieved. That came after I realized I had surrendered and trusted Jesus, not before. So you can't pretend to believe and then look for your peace so that you can truly believe. You have to believe with all your heart, regardless if you ever get a feeling or not. And whenever you're willing to do that, the great thing is when you realize, now I know I'm saved, there's peace with that. Amen. Now, your proof is your faith. You know this, I mentioned atheist, and there's a lot of things that science tries to prove these days. There's a lot of things that they say they prove that they have not proved. One thing, they have never proved that something can come from nothing. And science cannot prove that because it cannot happen. It just can't happen. No matter how you look, it can't happen. And so, scientists have proven their own theory to themselves by faith. Somewhere along the line, they just had to take a leap and say, oh, I'm just going to believe it's this way. Just have to believe it. And they believe it for themselves. I don't believe it's true. But I know this, my Creator created me and He fixed a way that I could be reconciled to Him, and I'm thankful that He did. You can be saved based on the Word of God if you'll put your faith in Jesus Christ. We have His preserved Word. We have the beauty of creation surrounding us and in us. And we have those who are witnesses. to the Lord's salvation all around us. You know, you go back to Jesus, and after he was resurrected, there was over 400 witnesses saw him at one time. Under normal circumstances, that would hold up in any court in our land. You had 400 witnesses to some event, that would hold up in court. That's evidence. But some people say, well, I've got to have a little more than that. Fact is, you can prove it to yourself if you believe Jesus. If you just trust him. Then you'll have the evidence you're seeking. You'll have just exactly what you're looking for. To expect more than what God's Word allows is like trying to rearrange deck chairs on the Titanic. It's just pointless. It's useless to try to expect God to do more than what he said he'll do. Do you want to be saved? If you do, believe in Jesus as your Savior. With all of your heart. Without expectation, without, well, what's going to come next, what's going to happen, just trust him. Put your eternity in his hands. Your long home, you're going heaven or hell, trust Jesus to take you to heaven with him. Just put it in his hands. He will save you. We'll ask for something.